Liam had a rooted objection to killing people he didn't know. He enjoyed reading and writing. He liked words. Words didn't shout or make loud noises, which pretty much defined the rest of his family. They didn't involve getting muddy in the freezing cold. They didn't hunt inoffensive animals either. They did what he told them to. So, he'd said, he wanted to write. His father had erupted. In his personal world, a scribe was only one step higher than a teacher. Good gods, man, they didn't even ride a horse. So there had been words. As a result, William had gone off to Ankh-Morpork, the usual destination for the lost and the aimless. There he'd made words his living, in a quiet sort of way, and considered that he'd got off easily compared to Brother Rupert, who was big and good-natured and a Hugglestone's natural, apart from the accident of birth. And then there had been the war against Clatch. It was an insignificant war which was over before it started, the kind of war that both sides pretended hadn't really happened, but one of the things that did happen in the few confused days of wretched turmoil was the death of Rupert de Werd. He had died for his beliefs. Chief among them was the very Hugglestonian one that bravery could replace armour and that Clatchians would turn and run if you shouted loud enough. William's father, during their last meeting, had gone on at some length about the proud and noble tradition of the de Werds. These had mostly involved unpleasant deaths, preferably of foreigners. But somehow, William gathered, the de Werds had always considered that it was a decent second prize to die themselves. A de Werd was always to the fore when the city called. That was why they existed. Wasn't the family motto Le Mot Juste? The right word in the right place, said Lord de Werd. He simply could not understand why William did not want to embrace this fine tradition, and he dealt with it, in the manner of his kind, by not dealing with it. And now a great, frigid silence had descended between the de Werds that made the winter chill seem like a sauna. In this gloomy frame of mind, it was positively cheering to wander into the print room to find the bursar arguing the theory of words with Goodmountain.
"Hold on, hold on," said the bursar. "Yes, indeed, figuratively, a word is made up of individual letters, but they have only a—" he waved his long fingers gracefully—"theoretical existence, if I may put it that way. They are, as it were, words partis in potentia, and it is, I am afraid, unsophisticated in the extreme to imagine that they have any real existence, unis et separato. Indeed, the very concept of letters having their own physical existence is philosophically extremely worrying. Indeed, it would be like noses and fingers running around the world all by themselves."
That's three indeeds, thought William, who noticed things like that. Three indeeds used by one person in one brief speech generally meant an internal spring was about to break.
"We've got all boxes of letters," said Goodmountain flatly. "We can make any words you want."
"That's the trouble, you see," said the bursar. "Supposing the metal remembers the words it has printed. At least engravers melt down their plates, and the cleansing effect of fire will—"
"Excuse me, Your Reverence," said Goodmountain.
One of the dwarfs had tapped him gently on the shoulder and handed him a square of paper. He passed it to the bursar.
"Young Caslongear thought you might like this as a souvenir," he said. "He took it down directly from the case and pulled it off on the stone. He's very quick like that."
The bursar tried to look the young dwarf sternly up and down, although this was a pretty pointless intimidatory tactic to use on dwarfs, since they had very little up to look down from.
"Really?" he said. "How very—"
His eyes scanned the paper, and then bulged.
"But these are—when I said I—" "Only just said. How did you know I was going to—I mean, my actual words," he stuttered.
"Of course, they're not properly justified," said Goodmountain.
"Now, just a moment," the bursar began.
William left them to it. The stone he could work out. Even the engravers used a big flat stone as a workbench, and he'd seen dwarfs pulling paper sheets off the metal letters, so that made sense too. And what the bursar had said had been unjustified. It wasn't as if metal had a soul. He looked over the head of a dwarf who was busily assembling letters in a little metal hod, the stubby fingers darting from box to box in the big tray of type in front of him. Capital letters all in the top, small letters